And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Speaking of things that make absolutely zero sense, we'll get into that coming up here very, very shortly in The Jump. My name is David Tewksbury. Thanks again for lending us your ears, voiceover guy. Appreciate that. It is a Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Good to be with you on this 20th day of the month of March. Today on the calendar, not only that, but it's also National Alien Abduction Day. So the more you know, I guess, in that regard, that is for sure. I think I got a the more you know sounder here, don't I? There you go. That's good stuff.
Right on cue.
Right on cue. That's the voice, of course, of the man we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing good. Can't complain.
I can't complain either. I mean, I could complain. I will not, though.
Good.
Not this morning. Good. Don't do it.
Good.
Yeah, we don't want it.
That's
well,
good.
Well, we actually, I tell you what, we will be doing some complaining, some griping, some beefing and moaning as the, what was it, the law offices of you-know-what and moan are in.
Yes.
And big shout-out to our boy Jonas Knox for that one. But we do have an interesting tale in the world of the weird. I'll even call it that with The Jump here in just a bit. But a Wolves midweek edition of the program and basketball season officially winding down. It's officially over for the Northern State squad that ended about a week and a half, 2 weeks or so ago. We'll talk with head coach Paula Kruger to put a bow on the 23-24 campaign. She'll be joining us here live in studio in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the show. Looking forward to our conversation with her. Always a lot of fun. And obviously, the season is over for the Wolves, but the season actually continues to progress for two NSIC squads. And actually, they're the same team, but just different genders. The men's team of MSU Moorhead, they are still dancing in the Elite Eight. And the ladies of MSU Moorhead, they are also dancing in the Elite Eight as well. So for the second time in as many years, that's the case.
Mankato, right?
What did I say, Moorhead?
Moorhead, right? It's Mankato, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely Mankato.
Okay.
I beg your pardon. I said Moorhead. It is Mankato. Thanks for the heads up there. Sorry, my daughter woke me up at 1:45 in the morning last night. I was up for like an hour.
Wow.
So, yeah. Remember when you said, I can't complain. I could complain.
You could complain.
That's what I'm complaining about. Yeah, but she's 9 months old. These things happen when you have kids. So I'm burning the midnight oil, as it were. And my voice is a little raspy here this morning. I guess that's kind of one of the reasons why. But yeah, what was my train of thought? Mankato. Yeah.
Two NSIC teams in the Elite Eight. Pretty cool. How about that finish there last night too, with that buzzer beater? A low-scoring game, 43-42 final. Pretty low-scoring, some great defense there last night. You don't see a lot of games like that anymore in college basketball, I feel like.
No, you do not. I mean, I've seen some scores of games this year where you've got more points than that in the first half. So to have 43-42 in the Elite Eight matchup there, at least to get into the Elite Eight with Northwest Mo, and I looked up the numbers last night and early on this morning. I just had to make sure that I was reading them correctly. Neither team shot great, but nobody was below 30%. And I think Northwest Mo, I'm pretty sure they had single-digit turnovers. I think Mankato had about 11, so neither team was really turning the ball over a lot. They just had one of them good old-fashioned grinded-out ball games.
Yeah, good-fashioned grinded-out ball games, and went down to the wire, Tukes, with Dreamer missing that free throw. If he makes the free throw, could have went overtime, but how about the Elijah Hayes camp with that shot there at the horn? Just over, it looked like two defenders, and Mankato now continuing their season. That was a pretty cool shot there yesterday, and congratulations to that program. That was one of the better shots I've seen.
It was a really, really interesting sort of tail end of the game there. And we kind of talked about this ad nauseum, if we're being honest, during the State B tournament this last week. It was a 1-1. It was a 1-1 trip. You had that in college, and you still continue to have that in college basketball. On the high school side of things, you don't see that anymore. And I just think that's one thing that college absolutely have gotten correct. I mean, there's a lot of things college has gotten wrong. There's no two ways about it. But I will tell you, the 1-1 is so, 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 so cool.
With the amount of misses we saw at the State B tournament from the free throw line, we were kind of looking at each other saying, hey, we wish we still had the 1-1, because I feel like a lot of games probably could have changed if that was the case. But I'm with you. We're 1-1 people. I think it just adds a different element to the game. there's more pressure at the line. It makes every shot that you shoot from the free throw line huge. Now, obviously, if you're in the double bonus, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're at the 7, 8, 9 foul mark and you miss a free throw like they did, you know, it gives the team an opportunity to go down the other way and make a shot and get cut into the lead, and you can kind of have strategy that way. It's tough, in my opinion, to have strategy when you're like, if you got one foul in the fourth quarter and you're down, I don't know, 8 to 12 points and you got 3 minutes left, what's the strategy there? You just got to keep fouling right away.
Well, to be honest with you, and I didn't say this on the broadcast, but I'm now starting to think about it, and I'm surprised. Well, I take it back. Let me rephrase. I'm not surprised so many coaches essentially threw in the towel as early as they did during the State B tournament in some of those games because of the fact that there was no 1-1. I mean, there were some games out there. There's about a minute and a half left to go, 2 minutes to go, and it's about an 11, 12-point differential, you know, sometimes 10 points. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if they get this going here and they miss a couple free throws and then they get a 1-1, oh, wait, there's no more 1-1. They hit a 3 here, they get a steal. And you just don't have that element. You don't have that dynamic of the game. So there were some coaches out there in certain games that are like, yeah, all right, we're gonna play for Friday, or we'll play for Saturday when that's the case. And I thought to myself, I wonder why. Oh, maybe it's the fact that there's not a 1-1 going on. And I didn't say it on the broadcast, but I think there's a lot of truth to it.
Yeah, I miss it. That's all I'll say. I miss it in high school basketball for sure. But it even covering high school at length, which I did, I still wasn't used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Still wasn't used to it, even at that B tournament. So I miss it. I'm glad college keeps it. I understand it's all about player safety and stuff like that, but really, I mean, what's the player safety with a 1-1 free throw? Am I missing something?
Maybe the fact that they jump in the air for a rebound, maybe they bonk heads or something like that. I think I even mentioned to you on the broadcast during the Sports Hub is I'd love to see the stats on it. I'd love to see the statistics. Maybe they've released it. Maybe they haven't. I just haven't seen it. I've been in the dark on that sort of thing. But it's just like, well, do you have numbers to say why we're making this change? And if so, where can I go to find those numbers? I'd love to get a link.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Where's the bibliography?
Yeah, where's the works cited? Where's the bibliography? We need to back that up a little bit here, guys.
I'm totally with you. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
And we've got a lot to get to for this installment of The Jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And you already talked about it. MSU Mankato downing the likes of Northwest Mo. And we've got the radio call from that one yesterday. Got to give a shout out to my guy Aaron Worm on the call. And here it is from last night.
This is awesome. This is what college basketball is all about. 42-41 Bearcats, 5 seconds to go. First free throw by Dreamer. It's no good. Rebound. They're not going to take a timeout. Malik across the timeline. Malik to Hayescamp for the win. His shot is up. Yes!
Finds a Hayescamp. It's a jumper at the buzzer. And Minnesota State is going to Elite Eight.
Yes, they sure are. That's good stuff right there from Aaron Worm, my guy there on the call. And one thing that's interesting about that shot was before that, he was 0-for. He was 0-for-6. I texted you that last night. Elijah yep. Hayescamp, who's had an incredible season, and he played really well against Northern. Every shot that he takes mid-range, it feels like they're all going in. And he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat yesterday until it mattered the most. So appreciate that, the fact that he just didn't give up. Stick to it. That's the shooter's mentality. The next one's going in, and the next one did, and now they're going to the Elite
Eight. Well, he had to shoot the ball, because if he didn't, the game was going to be over. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, that's just the call was great on that. I like the synchronized yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was a great call. And he's right. That is before that play happened. That is what college basketball is all about right there. That's March Madness at its finest, that play right there.
And it all started with a missed front end of the 1-1. Tuke's doctrine, man.
Make your free throws.
Make your free throws.
Come on.
Make your free throws. And Dreamer has had an incredible career for Northwest Mo. So that's just one of those deals. It's just like, got to be pulling your hair out if you're Northwestern Mo right now. But they've certainly been at the top of the mountain, too. So now it's going to be a situation
now,
where
Mankato the Elite advances. Eight, is the Elite Eight, do they still get home court for that?
Or? They reseed.
They reseed.
They reseed, and I think it's all in Sioux Falls, I think.
Sioux Falls, okay.
I got to double check on that one. Don't quote me.
Uh-huh.
That's what it used to be, I think. But kind of interesting how that all works out there. Speaking of basketball, the first four, or the first round, as they call it. Yeah, you're shaking your head. It's not the first round. By the way, as an aside here, the whole, like, last four in, first four out, shouldn't the first four out be, like, the worst teams in all of college basketball? It's like, oh, these are the first four teams that don't make the tournament. It's like, yeah, I mean, teams like St. Mary's School for the Blind and that team over there that went 0-29, aren't those the first four out?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Could we use a little different terminology there?
Doesn't make any sense. It's like, ah, these are the first four out. Yeah, it would be the teams that couldn't win a ball game all year, but I digress. So Wagner was playing Howard yesterday in the first four, and Matt Zimmer, I saw he sent out this tweet yesterday. He said, I feel like any game that's Wagner versus Howard should have Mike Hendrickson and Craig Maddock on the call, a couple guys from South Dakota Public Broadcasting and down south there in Sioux Falls.
That's pretty good. I like that.
That is. I mean, those are literally two high school teams right here in South Dakota. So big shout out to Maddock and Hendrickson there. And I also saw this. This came across my timeline this morning, sticking on the basketball motif. Virginia, of course, they lost last night, and they looked awful in the process of that game. They missed 19 consecutive shots at one point in time in that ball game. They scored 14 points in the first half. And Dan Wetzel says, I was told this week that we needed to expand this tournament because there are too many good teams. Well, guess what? Virginia, not one of them.
No, they didn't deserve to get in, and they proved why. And if you're a team that got left out, you're watching that game pulling your hair out, number one. And by the way, Tukes, they went almost an hour of real time without scoring a basket. I think it was 9:49 p.m. They made it 14. Their next actual point in real time was like 10:39. How bad is that?
That's really bad.
I saw a t-shirt I sent you, and it said, Virginia basketball is like Iowa football.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's pretty spot on, because that's exactly what it is. They muck it up. They slow it down. They play pretty good. They're just good enough. They sometimes have great teams. They won the national championship one year, but I found that very fitting, and I got to find that shirt, number one, because I would rock that.
And number two, got to have that as a Secret Santa gift if you've got the Cobra, that's for sure.
Yes.
Also came across a couple of other things here, and we always talk about this on the program. Having these South Dakota athletes that are multi-sport athletes, this is a pretty good quote. Quote, I played three or four sports as a kid. When I was in elementary school and middle school, I never had an off season to train. I never had an off season to train. Was always in season. Okay, make sense. And I think playing multiple sports was the best thing I've ever done. Close quote. You know who said that?
Who?
Christian McCaffrey. Turned out to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, one of the best running backs of all time, or not of all time, but in the modern day era, one of the best athletes in all of, you know, the U.S. Christian McCaffrey, and guess what? He played multiple sports. I like that quote.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I'd probably take him over any other running back in the NFL right now.
Right now, yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you're talking the last 10 years, I mean, who the guy can run the ball, he can catch the ball. He's amazing.
Two more here, quick like, before head coach Paula Kruger joins us here live in studio. She's sitting out there yet?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. Virginia, okay, I already hit on them. Green Bay men's basketball. We've been talking about Sundance Wicks all season. Sundance Wicks officially named a finalist for the 2024 Hugh Durham Coach of the Year and the Joe B. Hall National Coach of the Year. How about that? Big shout out to head coach Sundance Wicks.
Yeah, he's done a great job this year. That program turned around big time. They went on that big win streak, and you could just tell the culture's changed there. Congratulations to Coach Wicks.
And we'll wait and see if he wins that, and hopefully he does.
Yep.
And finally, I said to you right before the show started here today, hey, Matt, how about opening day in Major League Baseball? And you said, yeah, it's coming up next Thursday. And I said, no, it's going on today. That's right, Podgers. I just combined a team. The Padres and Dodgers. I need more sleep. Lucy, please sleep through the night tonight. It really would. It would be great. Padres versus Dodgers. They had opening day in Major League Baseball today. And someone said nothing grows the game quite like a season opener at 2:30 in the morning on a Wednesday. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, I'm really I'm not really sure what we're doing. I'll tell you what, right now, if you're MLB and Major League Baseball, are we just not going to promote it that we're having a game at 2:30 in the morning? I mean, no one knew that the game was going on. I saw an article on Twitter, Tukes, about it, and the headline was, "Baseball had a game today," and I don't think anybody knew. And I was like, yeah, you're looking at one guy who had no idea until – I thought it was a preseason game until you came on and said, "Oh, man, it's actually a regular season game. They have another game tomorrow, by the way, so what it's worth."
I'm driving in to work this morning listening to Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, and they're giving updates on opening day. And I'm like, opening day? That's next Thursday. What are we talking about here? No. That today was opening day, 2:30 in the morning. And I said earlier, nothing says the great American pastime like outsourcing opening day to South Korea.
Come on.
That's insane to me. You really want to grow the game and you're sending it to South? I mean, if you want to have a series over there, no problem. Have multiple series over there, fine. Okay, I guess. It's a 162-game season. It's a long haul. But opening day, what are we doing?
Yeah. Opening day, what are we doing is exactly right. I don't understand it. You want to have a little three-game series there in July? Sure. I'm cool with it. But opening day, when everybody's chomping at the bit for baseball season, you're going to have a 2-3-game series at South Korea that no one even knows about outside of a very diehard, hardcore baseball fan. Get out of here.
Yeah, that is nuts to me. And oh, by the way, speaking of opening day, we will have our MLB preview show coming up later on next week. We're going to make all of our predictions, so you don't even need to watch all 162 games. We're going to tell you what's going to happen the entire season. That's coming up next week. Are you looking forward to that?
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. Like you said, you don't need to watch 162. You probably just got to watch 10 games, and you'll be good to go.
Or none. Just listen to our show, and we'll tell you all about what's going on there. Minnesota Twins, they certainly will get their regular season underway coming up next week as well. We've got a couple of broadcasts on our airwaves this weekend on Saturday and Sunday alike. Looking forward to that as they've got Boston and, of course, your Baltimore Orioles coming up on Sunday at 12:05.
Yeah. Now, the Twins, you know, they had a great year last year and made the playoffs, but the Central, I think, is – going to be tough this year. They lost some pitching that they had last year. Sonny Gray's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. He was the best pitcher they had. So I think that's going to be something to look at. Pablo Lopez was great, as well as Joe Ryan. But can they build off of that last year they had? So I'm looking forward to baseball, man. Let's go Twins.
All right, looking forward to that. Looking forward to that show coming up next week. Well, come on back, and Paula Krueger, she'll be joining us live in studio. And she down the hall there?
I'm looking. I don't see her yet.
Okay, maybe I'll have to shoot her a text here and maybe to remind her or something like that. But either way, all of that and more is coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's a Wolves midweek. We are back on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. David Tewksbury, Matt McClure, we call him the Cobra. Head coach Paula Krueger, she'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour as she just kind of wrapped up with some player meetings and everything else like that. And this is kind of that time of the year where the season is officially donezo for the men and women of Northern State. And it's kind of that that player meeting, sort of that the exit meeting, that sort of thing. And you talk about, hey, you did this well. I'd like to see you improve here. I can't wait for next year because we're going to put you in this position, that sort of stuff. So I'm looking forward to that conversation here with Paula Krueger. She'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. But what a year for the Wolves women in particular. And we talked about that throughout the season, the fact that they were the preseason number 10 selection in the NSIC, clearly just thrashing those expectations.
Yeah, really were. They were awesome all season long. I think it happened early. You know, I really believe that they saw some success early on in the season. And when you win, you got a pretty young team. They were, you know, they looked at the paper clippings and seeing that they were number 10 preseason in the NSIC. They got off to a great start. And I think that just helped with the confidence moving forward. And then, you know, once they got back from break, they were, you know, already learned to play with each other very well, and they just continued to get better each game. And I think Paula Krueger has got to be happy with where the program is right now. 20 wins, I mean, that's 21 seasons are tough. So for them to get that is huge. And I think it started at the beginning of the season. When you see wins stack up, it just helps with the confidence. And really, a lot of underclassmen, I think, took some steps up from last year. We talk about Bragg. You've always talked about Takati Smith is somebody that has really stepped up. I know she's only a freshman, right? So, but still, I think a lot of young gals stepped up for that team, and that's why they were so successful.
And they were so fun to watch, too, because there were some times out there they would have a stretch where things wouldn't quite go their way. But in the back of my mind, and I would even say it sometimes on the broadcast, there's just no panic with this team. They could be down 6, they could be down by 9, they could be down by 13 points going into the fourth quarter against a team like USF, and just nothing's clicking offensively. Then you start to get one of those two shots to fall, and then guess what? Offensively, you start to have this explosion. Same thing against Augustana down south in Sioux Falls through three quarters. Just couldn't really get anything accomplished. And then the fourth quarter rolls around, and then boom. It's just they were the cardiac cats like all year. I mean, they're just so much fun.
Yeah, and you never knew when it could happen. It could happen at a snap of the finger, right? They could be down 10, then they could be up 3. I mean, that's what makes that team so fun to watch. You never knew what you were going to get. You knew you were going to get you never knew what you got from a result aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But what you did know is what you were going to get is effort, hustle, and never quit attitude. And that's what they did all season long. But I'm with you. They were a lot of fun to watch this year. And I've mentioned this to you before, but what stood out to me in person watching them when I did was they were never tired. Never seemed like they were tired. They could run up and down the floor on teams, and I'm like, oh, they're just leaving these teams in the dust, just running up and down. They don't even look tired out here.
Well, Brent Elfson and Rio, they're training for a marathon. So, I mean, I think that probably has something to do with it. I mean, you texted me during a game. I can't remember who they were playing, but you said, has Rio even broken a sweat out there? And it's like, probably not, because she's trained so hard to get ready for a marathon. So best of luck to them, by the way, in that marathon run. But, man, I just makes me tired even thinking about running for a marathon. But good for them.
Yeah, good for them. I've never ran a marathon before, or even a half. Like I said, I think the longest run I've ever did was 7.5 miles.
That's aggressive.
And that's way too aggressive for me. I'm more of I am a 5K guy.
Yes.
I do enjoy a nice 5K, 35 minutes, I'm good. Once we get past that hour marker running, we go downhill. It's that simple.
Very, very rapidly. There you go. So head coach Paula Kruger, she'll be joining us here in just a bit. And also of note, sticking on the Wolves midweek side of things, the Northern State University football squad, they're going to be looking for their next offensive coordinator, effective immediately, as announced earlier on yesterday by MSU Mankato. Ryan Schlichty, he'll be joining the Maverick staff. Head coach Mike Schmidt says, quote, I am proud of what Coach Schlichty has accomplished during his time at Northern State. He's a talented coach and a remarkable person. I'm happy about this opportunity for him and his family. We thank him for his contributions to NSU football and wish him nothing but the best. Coach Schmidt also adding that we have a proven history of discovering and nurturing exceptional talent within our offensive coaching team. I am confident that we will succeed in attracting a top-tier coach to fulfill this position once more, close quote. So Ryan Schlichty, of course, he graduated from MSU Mankato as he makes his way back home.
Yeah, I wonder if they saw it coming or if it was kind of sudden because I'm reading here, it's search for Schlichty's replacement will begin immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think, you know, was it kind of caught by surprise that he left? Obviously, he goes back home to Mankato, but that was the question I had, really. Do you think that, hey, did it catch – you know, Schmidt or anybody like that by surprise, maybe?
I would think so. I mean, I would guess so, because this is right before spring ball officially really gets into high gear. I mean, they've been working really, really hard in the weight room, that sort of thing. I've seen Coach Schlichty doing just around campus during basketball season, you know, going on tours and stuff like that and showing student athletes, hey, here's the Barnett Center and this sort of thing. So I would guess, and I'm just pure speculation, I would guess this probably caught them a little bit off guard, but that's a guess.
Yeah, I agree too. And that, like I said, I'm just, you know, throwing that out there possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now the search begins today to find the new one, and time to get a good one, right? That's, obviously you thank Coach Schlichty for what he did, and you just got to move forward and get ready now for the next season. And what's cool about it is they're actually going to be welcoming Coach Schlichty back here to the Dakota Bank Stadium at the end of the year next year.
Yeah, that's right.
As Mankato comes to town, right?
First week of November, yeah. Second to last game of the season, final home game of the year there against the Mavericks for sure. So, I mean, I don't know how many games of Madden you have under your belt, but what do you got going on in the fall? You got anything going on in the fall?
You know,
Saturday afternoons.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty busy Friday nights, but hey, you need anybody with some X's and O's for Madden, let me know. Saturday afternoons, I'm there.
Well, Coach Schmidt has your number, so if he doesn't.
He hasn't followed me on Twitter yet, but, you know, I followed him, though.
Okay, Coach Schmidt.
I'm just, it's all good.
Hey, he can handle that sort of thing. I still haven't got a follow back from Saul Phillips either. I talked to him about that kind of ha-ha-ha. He goes, yeah, I don't even use Twitter. So kind of interesting how that sort of thing rolls out. But, you know, Coach Schmidt can definitely take it because he can give it back. Next time he's in studio, you guys got to talk about whatever is on the TV list.
Yes, right? Yes. I always enjoy those conversations with head coach Schmidt. I got to say, it's a lot of fun.
What's up next? What are you on right now?
Right now, for TV-wise, I haven't really been watching a lot of TV, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Yeah,
We've been a very, very
maybe the next couple of weeks, I'll get back on the TV grind.
There you go. I heard some keys jingling, so head coach Paula Kruger will be joining us here live in studio coming up next, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We are back on this Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Wednesday means Wolves midweek around these parts on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Head coach Paula Kruger joining us here live in studio. And sorry, I'm a little hoarse here today. We did 12 games in 3 days, and my daughter was waking up last night around 1:45 in the morning, and so a little hoarse this morning, but I apologize.
It's okay. The state tournaments are... It's a crazy time for everybody.
It really
is. Especially in the Dean.
Yeah, very much so. We don't really talk a whole lot of high school boys basketball, but it's got to stay here, right?
I can't imagine an experience being, you know, any better.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I played in several state tournaments when I was in high school, and we played them in different places. And for the Bees for Girls, Huron was always our favorite place to play. So I just think there's some things where they say, well, we've always done it this way, so why change it? That you think, well, because maybe it needs to be changed. In my opinion, neither one of those would need to be changed. But I don't know everything that goes into it. I don't know any of the outside things. I just know what it felt like to be a player. Mm-hmm. So
totally fair. Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't even understand how it all works out. But we're still pounding that table. We're like, keep it here in Aberdeen, but it's all good. Great season for you guys. Unfortunately, you'd still love to be playing right now, but 20-9. Now that you've had kind of a chance to kind of let it simmer a little bit and kind of let it sit after the season's now over, how do you kind of look back at the season that was?
I'm still a little bit sour. I think my teams are probably are a little bit sour right now too. You know, you watch, you look back at your schedule and there's three distinct games that were two of them were single possession games by 1 point, and one of them you lose at home, and you think of win two of those three, and we're having a completely different conversation. Controllable things that, you know, we didn't get the job done. Coaching mistakes that I made, and there was a solid week after it was over that I probably didn't sleep real well. After that happened, but. You know, to do what we did with the group of kids that we did, for them to have the buy-in and the belief in each other, you know, to go that far, I think you saw some tremendous basketball talent from some great people. Satisfied? No. I'm excited for what the future looks like. You know, absolutely. And when I say we're still a little sour, it doesn't mean that I'm not happy and that I don't appreciate what we did. But when you watch Mankato do what they're doing, and you know that you're the only team that beat him when they had Joey Batt back. It's hard. Very happy for them. They're doing great things. Mm-hmm. I watched the region tournament, and, you know, I had a feeling that people weren't going to be ready for what it's like to play against Mankato. It's almost impossible to duplicate. And they're playing so well right now. On top of that, they're shooting the ball much better than they were earlier in the year. And so, it's awesome for our league to have, you know, 2 years in a row teams go to the Elite Eight. I think people understand that the Northern Sun, day in and day out, regardless of who you're playing and what records are, there is, and we're proof positive, if you don't show up for every game, someone's going to take something from you.
Agreed.
Now, it's funny you bring that up, because me and Tukes have been talking about that. Only one team in the Northern Sun in women's basketball was able to, playoff basketball outside of the Northern Sun Tournament, which you talked about, Mankato. You know, what's up with that? It just seems like you could have you, Mary, in there. You could have you guys in there. You could have Southwest in there? Is it just one of those things?
There's a lot that goes into that, and I don't think anybody understands unless you've been on the committee, and I've been on RAC, and I've also been on the national committee. And when you get the data, guys, it's a big old sheet that talks about so many different things, all the way down to your opponent's win percentage, and from injuries to strength of schedules to RPIs. There's so much that goes into that, and it really boils down to strength of your league a lot. And we've got three leagues in our conference, and all the leagues are strong, but then there becomes a part of how strong is what you would call your bottom half. And if the bottom half of one league is a little stronger than the bottom half of the other league, your strength of schedule, reflects that. So there's a very objective piece to that. And while there is, all of us that are watching, an argument to be like, how can that possibly be? The reality is they spend a tremendous amount of time on that committee doing everything that they can to make sure that the right teams get put forward. The other part of that is that there are three automatic qualifiers. Whoever wins the conference tournament automatically qualifies. Well, in the GAC, the person that won the conference tournament was an unranked team. Mm-hmm. So that knocks out somebody that was ranked, and then somebody else goes and wins a couple games, and that bumped out somebody else and moved them up. So there's so many moving pieces to that. It on the outside, it looks very easy to be upset that there's only one Northern Sun school in it. But in the reality, next year that could all be different based on what everybody's schedule looks like. The other part of that is that we play 22 conference games and we only get four or six games outside of conference to play. And you schedule D2 opponents and you schedule MIAA opponents. Number one, you need to win those games, but then you need those people to win games too. And you don't really control how other people perform down the stretch. And that's just, a reality. But those early games in the year, everybody said, well, it's so early. They matter, and they matter a lot when it comes down to regional opponents, because that's the only opportunity that you have to play people outside your league, because we start league games before Thanksgiving.
Just crazy to me, but that's the way it is, and it's the way it's going to be, I think, probably for the foreseeable future. Paula Kruger joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and like you mentioned, that is the way it is, and there is that long, it's basically like a scroll that you're talking about, that long sheet of paper that has that that formula, if you will. But like, just to play devil's advocate here for just a second, because on the NAIA side of things, they've got their field of 64. I don't believe they have any sort of regionals. They just kind of say, these are the 64 teams. That's the way it goes. So if the NAIA can figure it out, NCAA D2 can't. I have a hard time wrestling with that. You know what I mean?
I would argue that the way that the NCAA Division II and the NCAA does it is more objective, probably.
Mm. Okay.
Because our Division II model mirrors the Division I model with the way that it's done. We were NAI at Northern, and the same thing went into finding out if you were going to be an at-large person. No one knows how they pick those teams,
right.
And they still are quote unquote playing regional tournaments. It's 64 teams you're playing at, but now they're playing games at a home site,
like a pool,
based on in a pool. So you could break that into regions. And still, it'd be the same exact tournament as what we have. They have criteria to get in there. They don't just randomly say, oh, I like you today. You're going to beat Team 63. Like, you have to have the certain amount of wins. You've got to have, from the conference you play, I'm sure there's a strength of schedule piece that goes into that. But instead of calling it regionals, they play in a pool at a home site. But if you lose in that pool, you ain't going anywhere either.
Right.
But they also, their conference tournament things are, and that it's set up different, and they are two completely different governing bodies. So I wouldn't say that either team has, or either division has to figure it out. I wouldn't say that the NAIA figured anything out any more than the NCAA figured anything out. They have the model that they use, and it has criterion, and that's how people get there. What I would say, if you look across the board at Division I, Division II, and NAIA, that the Midwest has got some pretty darn good basketball, and South Dakota specifically has been, South Dakota, Minnesota, North Dakota, just this, our basketball here is good.
It's really good.
And it's hard to move forward. It's not easy. Winning is hard, and at any level. And I think people only see what they get to see, right? You don't get to see the practices in the locker rooms and the, you're not sitting on a regional committee splitting hairs right now because there's 14 teams that you really feel deserve to be playing, but you can only take eight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there is so much that goes into that. And having sat on a RAC committee and been on a phone for 6 hours, pulling it apart, and then being on the national committee and sitting on the phone for 6 more hours and pulling it apart, it's no one's favorite thing to do. You know, I mean, like, you watch it. I watch all the bracketology, and I watch the NCAA Division I, you know, when they're
so you're a big Joe Lunardi fan.
Yeah, so like you're banging teams in, and what teams you leave out, and who's on the bubble, and the first four in, and I'm looking, and tonight I have a friend that's at Presbyterian, and they're one of the first four. They won their conference tournament,
right?
And they're still the first four,
right?
You know, so they're playing their way in. Last night you saw men's, you saw 2 10 seeds,
mm-hmm.
24 wins and 23 wins playing in to even get to that next round of 64. Really, the only way that you're going to make people happy is you're going to expand the tournament, and now all of a sudden it's going to be 72 or 80 teams, and then people
watered
are going to be mad because they're 81, and then there's no way to win at this. You know, like you look at the women's side, and people were going just over number one seeds, and USC and Texas are number ones, and Stanford is, you know, arguably upset because they weren't a number one, and LSU is mad because they're a number three. And if I'm Iowa, I'm going, what in the world did we do to get this bracket? We got the toughest bracket. We got the toughest region in the tournament. So you're never going to make everybody happy, but just know the people that have to sit and do this, that is not a glorious experience in any way, because you know that somebody is going to be angry.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to be subjective, right? Like, who, if you're on the rack and you're Rick Newman, obviously he wants to go to bat for the Northern Sun.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when they go to talk about the Northern Sun and they want to talk about Mary, Rick doesn't get to be part of that conversation. He doesn't get to bat for himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those, so it's different. You know, I mean, if Emily Tesey is on the rack, she doesn't get to sit on there when they start to talk about her. She's got to remove herself. So they try to make it as objective as possible to keep some of that subjectivity out of here. But when you get to watch teams play every day, I mean, we've seen Mankato play, I don't know how many times. I could tell you right now that they're not a 7 seed based on how they play, but probably on paper, you couldn't manipulate things enough to move them around. But now, if you notice, when they reseed, they're a 5 seed.
5 seed now, right? Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's a hard thing to explain unless you get to sit there and look at it. And for all of us that sit on the outside that never get to do it, the easiest thing to be is mad because there isn't more representation, or your team's not playing, or
hey, that's what sports radio's for.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's kind of the answer. That's what everybody does. There's people mad all over. You know, I mean, Miami was an Elite Eight team last year in women's basketball, and they're not even in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's interesting perspective.
You know, Tennessee women's basketball, because I'm a diehard fan and I follow their history. They're the only team that's made 42. Tournaments. There's been 42 Division I women's basketball tournaments, and they've been in all 42. There's not one other team. Now think about the South Carolinas and the UConns,
sure,
and all the teams that have been predominantly unbelievable. One team has done it every year.
The Vols.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's hard. Winning is hard.
You got time for one more segment?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, let's take a quick break in the action. More with head coach Paula Kruger after this on FSA. Back on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, having a fun conversation off the air. That's why the music bed's still going here. Head coach Paula Kruger joins us in studio. This should be like a 5-hour podcast or something like this, like one of them Joe Rogan deals, like those like long, long form ones. But maybe we can do that sometime over the summer at some
Absolutely.
Point. Those
I'd
are
be
always
happy
fun.
To, yeah.
No doubt. Well, let's talk a little bit about your season to date here. We talked about it very, very briefly there,
mm-hmm.
but we saw great leaps from younger players and players that are going to be back here next year. I thought it was kind of interesting that Madeline Bragg goes out and puts out a message on social media saying, hey, I'm not going anywhere. People have been asking me about her, like, hey, is she going to transfer out? Everyone's in the transfer portal, feels like, on the guy's side. I think the number is over 500 right now on the D2 guy's side, which is pretty crazy, but you know, she's coming back, and isn't it interesting? Just that's kind of like the culture of D2 basketball that we live in nowadays, where players have to put out messages saying, like, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying at home, you know?
You know, I commend Maddie for putting out the message. I don't think that people truly understand what that does to a young kid.
Oh, yeah.
To be constantly asked.
Right.
Are you staying? Are you going? The seeds that it plants to think, well, why should I be going somewhere? Or she handled it with grace. It has been nonstop for her for a long time. It is nonstop for her head coach for a long time. I can handle it a little bit better than a 20-year-old kid who's just trying to play basketball and be the best that she can be. No one was happier than me when she put it out that she was staying for 2 years. But there is so much that goes into that. And I get that people want to know. I just wish that they would just let the kid decide on their own what they need to do with their family, with their parents, with their circle. We talk so much about, you know, being in your circle and keeping outside noise out, you know, like even with our team. And it's in this day and age with social media and with all the people wanting to know, you know, what's next and don't you want to try it and whatever that may be. Man, kudos to her for, first of all, having the courage to just tell people, I'm not going anywhere. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to stay. You wouldn't be human in this day and age if you hadn't thought about, you know, being elsewhere or what factors go into deciding, you know, where you go or where you stay. It's just, that's the world that we live in. But I wish that world that we live in could keep themselves out of that inner circle long enough for these kids to figure out what that piece looks like just for them.
Sounds downright logical that you're making that case. But to your point, though, mature beyond her years to put out something like that. And, yeah, I take my hat off to her for sure.
Yeah, and she came to me and talked about it. And, you know, obviously as a head coach, it's something now where we have to recruit our kids over every year.
Mm-hmm.
And that started 5 years ago with Rihanna Phillippe. I think I heard every week that once she signed here that she was leaving to go somewhere, so I'd have to sit down and ask her. And finally she just said, "Coach, yeah, I told Gino I'm not leaving."
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed a little bit. I said, "So Ariema's on the phone now, huh?" And she gave me a wink. And, you know, but to have that commitment from people, you know, back when I played, it wasn't a thing. 30 years ago, it wasn't a thing. 15 years ago, it wasn't a thing. It's a thing now. So allowing us as coaches and as players to navigate the newness of that and allowing us to figure out how we want to build that relationship so it can still be a relationship-based career and not be so transactional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't coach to make transactions. I'm not a GM of a big-time, you know, like the Cowboys or one of those things where you're a business piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the kind of negotiations that we're doing. I'm trying to build a culture in a locker room where my kids feel safe. I'm trying to build a team that has a chance to go play in an Elite Eight so they know what it feels like, that can play in a conference tournament championship that makes the city proud. But more than that, that is really great people, and when they leave, they have a great experience and they feel like they want to give back, they want to come back. I'm not trying to create a product that says, "God, I'm good enough that I want to go play someplace else."
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you get asked that, the more you think of, oh, well, should I be thinking about that? And so I just think that's a world that was created. I just wish that the outside part of that could just give it a little bit of time so we can figure out, those of us that are living on the inside, how we maneuver this great change that we're sitting in, because it's definitely different.
God bless you for it. I don't think I could do it.
But you can't fault kids either, because I get it. Coaches do leave for that next job or that next thing. You know, I mean, the recent one was Coach Wilbur at DWU just got an opportunity
right.
to co-coach
with
Nate Tibbetts in the WNBA. Like, I can't fault the guy. Like, he's going to coach in the WNBA. Like,
sure.
That's fantastic. Or that coach that gets that chance to go to Division I, you know, Sundance Wicks, who went the D2 route and did that thing, and now he gets his shot. Like, for some people, Division I is where they want to be. But for some people, Division I is where you are. And for the kids that are playing at Northern right now, this is where they want to be. This is their big time.
That's what you want.
So let us be as big time as we can be, and don't ask why we're not going someplace else. Just be really glad that we're here while we are.
Amen.
And so I, if there was a message I could give to my kids, that's what I tell them. I said, I want you to want to be here. Because if you don't want to be here, then you're always going to have one foot out the door. And that's the same way with a coach. If I really don't want to be here anymore, and I got one foot out the door, I'm not good for anybody either. And if that point gets here, then I need to sit down and have a tough conversation with my kids and say, hey, guys, it's time for me to go because I can't give you everything I've got.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping for my kids that they understand that it's okay to think about those things. It's okay to have conversations about those things. But when push comes to shove, the people that really matter are going to be in your circle, and they're going to tell you the truth. The reality is when you get in the portal, it's flipping hard. 3% of all Division II athletes that get in the portal go Division I. 27% even get another scholarship.
We talked about the numbers yesterday. And they're nuts.
It's hard because so many people are testing out something that's new. And, I mean, think about this. If you were in the business world, you were just talking about, you know, like, do people even have to give their 2 weeks anymore or however that is. Think if things were – if you thought about every day leaving and what that next thing was going to be, what promotion are you going to get? Probably not, because people know you're thinking about, where am I going to be tomorrow? Because my head isn't where I am right now. And so I just think it created a really difficult situation for 18 to 22-year-old kids to try to navigate alone with all the outside noise of people wanting to know and understand. And it's not because they're nosy. It's truly because they care. But it's too much.
It is.
Like, you got to let them have their time to figure that out. And the people that they should be figuring it out with are the people that are in their circle. And most of our circles are pretty small.
Yeah, I feel like social media has something to do with it.
Oh,
as
it's
well.
Unbelievable.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can get a hold of anybody. You can DM just about anyone in the world on some platform anymore and find somebody that knows somebody. But, you know, you can be a coach and follow somebody on Twitter, and then all of a sudden that guy's like, oh, that guy, you know what I mean? Like, it's – Clint Hurdle followed me the other day, for those of you that
don't
know. And I'm a big Clint Hurdle fan because I was a Rockies fan. And he followed me, and then he commented on one of my messages. Well, it turns out he knows some of the people that I know from baseball back in when I was there that were high school coaches. And we were the same guy, Joe White. I was on his podcast, and then Clint Hurdle was on his podcast. And I'm like, oh, my God, Clint Hurdle. You know, like, I thought it was the best thing ever.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
And Joe White is like, well, yeah, Clint. And I go, I'm like, oh. So it's so easy to find people right now that knowing who's in your circle is even hard. And so to try and keep some of those things to yourself for a while, to just focus on the present, has become really difficult. Then you're asking 18 to 22-year-old people to figure that out.
Yeah, that's darn near impossible. Got about a minute left to go before we let you go here, before the end of the show. Final comments? I mean, this has been a lot of fun. I mean, we were only here for about the half of the show,
know,
but
my,
what's next for you, I guess?
You know, my final comment would be that these kids were fantastic. Perfect, no. Girls will be girls' issues, absolutely. When you're around each other 24/7, 365, you have those pieces. But in the end, all they really wanted to do was be great for Northern, to be great for each other. What's the next step for us? We could start preseason workouts. We take the kids that return and start to try and do a little bit of skill work to get better. We've got 6 newbies right now that will be coming in next fall, and we're going to try to blend them all together and see if we can you know, what is delayed isn't necessarily denied, and we didn't get as far as we wanted to get this year, so we're going to try and push the ball a little bit further up the hill and see if we can't be somebody that's playing in this region tournament.
That's head coach Paula Kruger. We're back at it tomorrow.